This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Wednesday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's July 23rd, episode 961, and this one's brought to you by our friends at Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you being here at Horses in the Morning. Hey, Jamie, I saw in the news this morning, I thought of you immediately, that there is a fruit recall on the West Coast. The Wawona Packing Company in Cutler, California, is recalling a whole bunch of fruits that were sent out to Trader Joe's, Ralph's, and a couple of other stores because of a listeria possibility. And I thought, you know, if they cut off your fruit and then a vegetable start being recalled, you're going to be down to just tofu.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? They'll probably start recalling tofu, too. My gosh. I just clicked on the link that you sent me, and this is Costco and Trader Joe's are included in this, and that is pretty much where I do my grocery shopping. So I better watch out. They're checking some packaging.
Yeah, don't get the yellow peaches and the nectarines or the plums or the pluots. What is a pluots, by the way?
Oh, my gosh. They're so delicious. They're apricot and plums, like, I don't know, genetically
altered.
But
they married apricot and plums?
Yes, and they're so good. If anybody sees them, buy them and eat them. They're delicious.
A pluot. Is that how you say it? A pluot?
I've never heard of them before.
Must be a West Coast
don't
thing.
Buy
I haven't
or
seen
eat them
those.
From Trader Joe's.
Just don't buy them from Trader Joe's. Exactly.
Or Costco.
But apparently nobody has gotten sick. But they found it at the plant, and they cleaned the plant, and now they retest, and everything's good. They just want to make sure people don't get sick. I guess listeria is one of those that will make you really ill, but if you're, like, old or pregnant, then you'll die. So, you know, it's one of those diseases that you hear about every once in a while.
Well,
anyway.
I am neither old nor pregnant, so I'm good.
You'll just be sick. That, you know,
yeah,
really sick.
I'll just be regular sick.
That's right. we'll watch for the vegetable recall soon. You know, I took this opportunity because you're always picking on us people who eat meat, and, you know, there's always these meat things, you know, so very seldom do I ever see a recall on fruit.
I know.
I had to take advantage of it. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's Wednesday edition?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, directly following the fast-paced look at the headlines of the week, Dr. Fugaro stops by for a chat about the disease with more pseudonyms than a coffee clutch of Academy Award winners. And the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge goes international as we welcome our first ever Canadian celebrity, or maybe our second Canadian celebrity. And stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. She puts pressure on us because she said, you know, a fast-paced news segment. I don't know that we ever do it fast-paced, do we? That puts a lot of pressure.
We don't do fast-paced, ever.
No, I don't do that. She's wishing. Anyway, my daily winning goes out to a group of teens called Drifters Hearts of Hope. They're out of Parker, Colorado, and what they did is they all got together and they raised money selling heart-shaped molasses and oat horse treats. And they took all the money they raised and they went to an auction that a lot of the horses and donkeys and stuff that go through the auction end up going to Canada or Mexico, to the killers down there. And what they did is they bought four horses, or they bought three, I think it was, they bought four horses. They bought four different horses and saved them from going to the slaughter. And a group of people from the community had donated a pasture and everything, and the parents got together, and they spent several nights fixing the fences and weed whacking and clearing debris. And now the kids are going to be taking care of the horses with the community's help. You know, we always said that the only way we're going to solve the overpopulation of horses problem is if people start adopting them and finding homes for them and that kind of thing. Well, here's a group that got together to do that, the Drifters Hearts of Hope.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. So what are they planning to do with these horses? Are they going to...
I was hoping feeding them was one of the things they were planning on doing.
Man, you know what? You know what would be the hardest part of that for me is going to an auction like that with some money burning a hole in my pocket and buying only four. I'd be like, I'll take them. I'll take them all.
Oh, here it does say, the hope is that the horses will eventually get adopted, giving Drifters Hearts of Hope the chance to rescue more animals in the future. But it's a group of about 12 kids that have gotten together and are doing this. So I think that's really cool.
Oh, that's great.
That's what's going on there. Your turn.
All right. Mine is one of these. I never do them.
Hey, look at you. Pressing buttons.
I know. I pressed a button, and I'm doing a birthday winning, which I never do. But today's birthday is my mama. And, you know, you don't want to get disowned by not wishing your mama happy birthday.
Yes, that is correct.
Happy birthday, Mama. I won't say how old you are, but it's older than me. It's for sure.
Well, happy birthday, Mom. That's interesting. Jennifer's mom and your mom all in the same week.
Wow. Our parents should hang out.
I know. Hey, I want to say thank you to Susan Nelson. She posted on our page. She said, thanks to Jen, Glenn, and Jamie. I'll be wearing my HRN cap to the WEG. Remember when we talked to her, 2 weeks ago, she said she didn't have a cap and she's going to the WEG all 16 days. Remember, she was gone for the whole time. And we said, well, if you're going to wear it, we'll send one to you. If anybody else is going to the WEG and agrees to wear our hat, we'll send you one. So just send your email to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. So if you're going to the WEG over in France, let us know and we'll get you a hat you can wear while you're there. We'll be glad to do that for you.
Susan Nelson is our listener who is our quality control officer. If I say something wrong or incorrect, Susan Nelson lets me know, and I do appreciate that, Susan. So I really think that Susan needs to be on the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Let's put her to the test. Don't you think? Has she signed up?
She has signed up, and we'll definitely get Susan on the Celebrity Trivia Challenge.
It's
got
to happen. It's got to happen.
You want to see her get things wrong, don't you?
Yes, I do. Payback.
Let me guess. That day, you are going to write all of her questions yourself, aren't you?
You know what? I would, except for the fact that she's probably going to get every single one of them right, so it would be like a double slam. So I'm going to have Jennifer take care of it, and, you know, hopefully she gets challenged a little bit. You know, hopefully she wins, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, Susan, we're excited also to hopefully you'll post some pictures on our Facebook page when you're over at the WEG. If we could get it arranged, I don't know if she'll have a phone or not. If we could get it arranged, it would be fun to talk to her one day while she's there. We're going to try and get some live reports from WEG, but that's a little difficult on this show because the system doesn't allow us to call overseas. So it's a little more difficult for us to get reports from overseas. So we'll do what we can. We'll try. I mean, we'll have to record them or whatever. We'll see what we can get done. It's coming up real quick.
Month
away.
Yeah, no kidding. That's amazing. That's amazing. I want to thank all of our listeners, by the way, who made me feel normal. Okay, my husband is out of town.
And that's difficult.
And that's difficult. And the problem is, if I were single, my house would be decorated like a 12-year-old girl would decorate her room, with pony pictures and unicorns and briar horses. And, I mean, it would be a horse girl's dream in this house. But I have to bring myself down a little bit and kind of condense my love for horse decor. So what I decided to do a while ago was, I put the million briars away that I've had since I was like a kid, and I just started collecting just the famous racehorse briars. And with an occasional show jumper or a vendor, I guess it's all just racehorses. But I tried to condense my briar thing to my office, a shelf in my office. And right now I have, thanks to you guys, black caviar. I have Zenyatta. Actually, Glenn bought me one, too. You got me Cigar. So I have all of these, and Barbaro. So I have all these wonderful briars, and I have Secretary Manowar. Can't forget them. So I went to the swap shop, which is called the Brass Armadillo, and it's like everybody has these little booths, and they all sell stuff. I know. I don't know why. But they all sell stuff in whatever they're going to sell. It's like a little tiny room of garage sales. And I did find in one place has all briars. All they sell is briars and, like, derby glasses. And, of course, I always buy stuff from there. But she had, or he had, I'm assuming it's a she, let's be real. She had a bunch of briars for sale. And I didn't even know that they made a Frankel briar. But I bought a Frankel briar, and they had Forgo. So they had black caviar, too, but I already had hers. So I'm like, I'm going to spend $60 on $70 right now on two horses. So I bought the Forgo and I bought Frankel. I was excited about Forgo, but then I saw Frankel and I got like super excited. And I carried it around this box with this horse in it. Forgo didn't come in a box, but I carry this box like a briar like to my chest. Like all the way around the store, I'm like hugging this, and my child is in the stroller. Like, I'm like, whatever, just keep coming. So I'm walking around the store with this briar clutched to my chest, you know, like loving it. And I brought it home, and so I took pictures of it, and I posted it on Facebook. And I posted, is it wrong that a woman in her 30s, late 30s, would be this excited to find two briar racehorses at the local swap shop, Frankel and Forgo? And I thought, I've got to be absolutely abnormal for loving this. Well, 144 likes later, and all of you wonderful people posting your comments. I think I need to go over some of the comments, Glenn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there were some good ones.
Tammy Schreiber, I think she lives in this area, and I'm pretty sure she needs to be my new friend, because she wrote, I find it perfectly normal, and she posted a photo of her kitchen cabinets, and on top of her kitchen cabinets, crammed together, like, this would be horse abuse if they were real, because they have no space, no pasture. She has them color-coded on top of her kitchen cabinets, and they are side by side by side by side. There must be, I mean, just she's showing a little bit of her kitchen cabinets, and they're just crammed in next to each other. She also said that this is a portion of her collection. She has another whole room full of them. And then Angela Bailey said she was abnormal. She was so excited at Goodwill to find a teacup and saucer with a fox hunting scene on it. I mean, we still do it. Uta says that her briar of Cigar she still is excited about. Janet Shepherd has the Roan briar set. Let's see, what were some of the other good ones you liked?
Well, did you see L.A. Pomeroy posted on there? She listens and has been on the show before, that she's actually the copywriter. She writes the copy for the boxes.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she writes the copy for the boxes. So what you read on the side of the box could be what she wrote. She listens to the show.
She says that it is a demographic split evenly between adults and young people. Yay! And she also said she's very jealous that I have both of them. And other people commented, Kimberly Vincent posted that she still has her entire Breyer collection from the 80s. Everybody else made me just feel normal because they all said that it is super excited, that being super excited is totally normal. Ellen Christians said that she's 50 in a few weeks, and OMG, she wants black caviar. She didn't know there was a fryer. I love it. Well,
I don't know,
everybody.
Jennifer, do you have, I don't think Jennifer has any of hers. Do you have any of yours anymore? She used to have a ton.
Unfortunately, all of my Breyers broke their legs before veterinary science caught up to the injury.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a little tough on her
dryer.
I rode
them hard and put them up wet. Yeah. That's pretty tough on my dryers.
And I know that there's a way to fix Breyers because when I was having my baby shower, I decided to have a horsey baby shower, and I thought I needed all my Breyers to decorate them. And they were at my house in Atlanta. So I had my brother box them all up and send them to me. I'm like, okay, send me all those Breyers. So you know what he did? He put them all in a box and sent them. No packing peanuts, no butter.
Oh, no.
He
a rough trip in the trailer.
It was not a good trip in the trailer, Glenn, exactly. I think about six of them lost a limb. A couple of them are now earless. I was so upset. I mean, I was glad he sent them, but I'm so upset they're all ruined. Of course, you don't throw out a horse just because it's got an injury. They're all still propped up, over there on my shelf in the baby's room. But, I don't know. There is a way to fix the broken legs on the Breyer website, isn't there? I need to look that up.
Yeah, there is. And there actually, yes, there is a way to do that. And I think they even sell something to help you do that, too.
Of course they do.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. You know, it's funny. When we post something about Breyer, we always get a ton of comments. That's always one of our most popular posts is about Breyers. Interesting.
You know,
we never grow up.
No, we don't. And you know what's really awesome, just to add to it, is I was going to buy the Breyers, but my dad's in town, and he's like, I'll buy them. So my daddy bought me the Breyers. I mean, does it get better than that? Come on.
He babysits, and he buys you Breyers. You better keep him.
I don't know about the first part very much, but the buying the Breyers definitely was a plus.
Hey, I have a tech tip of the week, and then there's something I want to talk to you about I saw that's non-horse related that I want to chat with you about because you see it so much today. But anyway, my tech tip of the week is something that I didn't know you could do. You probably know about it already, but I didn't know you could do it. It's fairly new on Facebook. Is if you're in your feed, if you just click on home and you go to your feed and you go down and Jamie, go ahead and just pick any one of the posts that one of your friends put up and click on the little arrow on the right, little arrow on the right of the post where it says, I don't want to see this. Sometimes, everybody that posts pictures of their horses with big gashes and, skin hanging off, and I always hide those. I put, I don't want to see those. Well, if you click on that, there's a new thing now called save, and it will say save, whatever the post is. If you click on save, you know how you're always seeing something, especially me, when I'm getting ready to do shows, and I know you probably have this problem too, because I see things on Facebook the day before, let's say yesterday, and I go, I want to talk about that in the show tomorrow morning. And I'll look for it tomorrow morning, and you get on Facebook before the show in the morning, and you can never find it. It's completely gone, it's buried, or it's completely disappeared. Well, you can hit save now on any post, and what will happen is on the left side where it says newsfeed, messages, events, where that list is, they'll be saved. You can click on that, and you can go back and look at saved posts.
I'm trying this. Let's see.
So there, if you click on the little arrow.
It's doing it on one, but then not on the other. So,
and I haven't quite figured out. I think it's where there's a link, it will allow you to save it. In other words, if it's linking to a story or linking to a picture, it'll allow you to save it. I think it doesn't if it's just somebody writing something. That's what I've been able to figure out so far. But it came in handy because it was something I wanted to talk about today, and I saved it, and it was there. I could actually find it this morning. So thank you, Facebook.
I only really use my phone on Facebook. So is there a way that I guess
I don't know.
It on the computer.
I don't know if there's a way to do it on the phone or not, to be honest with you. You have to check that out and let us know. Let us know if there's a way to save. Because I do like it's a great handy thing. It's going to be great. And also where it'll be good, too, is if somebody sees a post of one of our shows and link to one of our shows and they go, I want to listen to that one. But yet, you know, you forget about it or whatever. You can save it and then come back to it later that way. So that is how you could use it for one of our shows as well.
Cool.
All right. And the thing I saved was this. All right. This was posted on a blog out of New York City. It's a blog that does stuff about food and stuff. Well, apparently there was this very popular, they didn't list which one it was, a very popular restaurant in New York that was tired of getting complaints on Yelp and things about their service. They said, we've been doing things the same way for a long time, and we just can't figure out why we're getting so many complaints that the service was slow or they had to wait too long for a table or, you know, that kind of thing. So they hired a firm to come in and help them solve what the problem was. And the firm, you know, said, well, it must be your employees, blah, blah, blah. Well, they apparently had a surveillance system built into the restaurant years ago with cameras and stuff. Well, years ago, it was a tape system where they recorded everything on tapes on four different cameras. And then they had these, and those things used to be huge, by the way. They used to take up a lot of room that recorded on tapes. Well, they went back to see if they could find some of the old tapes so they could compare the old tapes of what was happening in the restaurant to what's currently happening. Well, they had destroyed all the tapes, except that all four of the recording systems still had a tape in it. So they had an entire day from July 1st, 2004, and it was a very busy that day, and they had the entire day that they could look at the footage from. This is what they found. And I'll just go through this, the highlights of this. So in 2004, what they found is the customers walk in, they're given their menus, and out of 45 customers, three request to be seated elsewhere. You know, we always do that when there's children like yours around. We want to be seated far away. So then customers on average spent 8 minutes before closing the menu to show they're ready to order. So they come in, they sit down, they take 8 minutes to decide what they want. The waiters show up instantly. They take the order. Appetizers are out within average of 6 minutes. Out of 45 customers, two items were sent back, and the waiters kept an eye on the table. Service was good. Average time from start to finish was an hour. Okay, now let's fast forward to 2014. Customers walk in. Customers get seated and are given menus. Out of 45 customers, 18, not three, 18 request to be seated elsewhere. So we have pickier customers now. Before even opening the menu, guess what they do, Jamie?
I would imagine that when you sit down before you open the menu, you get out your phone to check in on Instagram.
They take their phones out. Some are taking photos, and some are simply doing other things on their phones. 7 out of 45 customers had waiters come over right away. They showed them something on their phone and spent an average of 5 minutes of the waiter's time. Given the recent footage, they asked the waiters about this, and they explained that the customers had a problem connecting to the restaurant's Wi-Fi and demanded that the waiters help them be connected. So now we have waiters that are spending, 5 minutes helping somebody get connected to their phone. And out of 45 customers in the restaurant, 7 of them needed help. So now the waiters are walking over to the table to see if the customers like to order. Guess what? The customers aren't ready because they haven't even looked at the menus yet. So the waiters return in another 4 or 5 minutes to find out, and finally they're ready to order. Now get this. The total average time from when the customer was seated until they placed their order was 21 minutes. And it's not the restaurant's fault. It wasn't the waiter's fault. It was people fooling around with their phones, taking pictures.
So before, in 2004, it was 8 minutes before they ordered. And then now it's 24 minutes. Wow.
Yep. Now, the appetizers, by the way, still took 6 minutes. That didn't take any longer. Get this, 26 out of the 45 customers spend an average of 3 minutes taking photos of the food. 14 out of those sent the food back because it was getting cold. They needed it reheated. I mean, and then it goes on and on.
Are you
20,
serious?
27
they sent it
out
back?
Of the, I know. 27 out of the 45 asked their waiter to tape a group photo, and we've all done that. We're all guilty of that, right? So the waiters are tied up taking group photos, you know, doing that. And then, you know, they always say, well, take another one. You know, take more than one. You know, so this is what it came down to, is that the meal that took an hour and 5 minutes before, now the average time start to finish was an hour and 55 minutes. It adds an hour to the whole experience. And what they're finding is that those same people are going back and then complaining that it took so long.
Now, I'm reading this, and one thing that they're, I mean, like you just said, people are taking pictures of their food. And you see
yeah.
that on Facebook and
yeah.
or wherever all the time. It's like, just eat it. Stop taking pictures. I don't want to see a picture of your food. I don't care.
I know. I'm not there. I don't get to eat it. So.
Yeah. I really don't care.
So there you go. That's what they found. You know, everything, you can totally believe everything because we've all seen it. You know, now what the big, the new hot thing, the new trend now is when you walk in with friends to have dinner, everybody puts their phones on a stack. There's a name for this. Do you know what the name is? I don't remember. They put their stack in the middle, phones in a stack in the middle of the table. The first person to reach for their phone during dinner has to pay for everybody.
Ooh, I like that. Well,
isn't
you know,
that a
the,
great
the,
idea?
The fighter pilots could do a credit card roulette where everybody
oh, really?
Puts a, all their credit cards in a hat, and the person that draws the credit card out has to pay the whole entire dinner bill, which is usually pretty painful.
Yeah.
But that, so I would say phone stack roulette. I don't know. Play, oh, they call it phone stack.
Oh, they call it phone stack. Well, there you go. And then you just stick your phone there. First one to reach for it has to pay dinner. I love that idea. That
I do,
idea.
Too.
So wasn't
you.
That interesting,
okay.
the difference in today? And you know, but what, why the restaurant didn't notice this is all these things are so gradual. They happen over a period of time that they never saw it. But when you take a look at the tapes from back then to now, it became plain and obvious what the difference was.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I can't imagine them sitting there with your food forever and sending it back because it wasn't hot enough. Like, as a waiter, I waited tables for a long time. And it really, I mean, back then, it really wasn't that hard of a job. Like, I see people, waiters, that are either a-holes or, you know, jerks or just too stressed out. I'm like, you know, your job's not that hard. But now it seems like they could be really hard because they're trying to, they're in the weeds, they call it, but playing catch-up with everybody around them, like, order your food. Eat your food. I'm not taking it back. Like, I would probably be a little salty. I would be like, I'm not taking your food back. You just sat with it on the table for 10 minutes. I would probably not do as well as a waiter as I did before.
You know, and then you get, everybody has one of these too, and I'm sure you have in your family. We have one in our family who is the person who just cannot decide and then asks 55 questions about everything on the menu. And the waiter or waitress is just standing there being very patient, answering questions. But it takes up at least 10 minutes. Now when we go out with that person, we say, oh, we've been to this restaurant before. You're going to love – and we order for them. Because it's off the problem. Yeah.
You know, and my dad's sitting right behind me, but I'm going to tell on him. My dad is the king of condiments. You know, if you want some ranch dressing and some extra mustard and pickles and onions, ask for it ahead of time. When the waiter goes and to get you the mustard, and then they come back and they say, here's the mustard, and then you say, can I get some extra pickles? And then they have to go back and get the pickles, and they come back with the pickles. Can I get some extra onions? Ask for it all up front. I mean, seriously.
Now you know why those waiters are looking flustered today, Jamie. Now you know.
That's true.
Between the phones least, and your dad, they haven't
I
got
know.
A prayer.
At least he tips well, though. He will tip well.
Well, there you go. That's
you'll get nothing
make
else done, though. Yeah, and nobody else will tip you because they're pissed off that you've taken so long.
See, I was kind. I didn't name which relative on my side it was. See. I was
well,
kind.
I couldn't pull that off. He's sitting behind me, and he would know who I'm talking about because we clearly give him a hard time about that.
All right, well, let's get on with our show. Our first guest is ready. We're going to get to our first guest, talk a little horse health today, right after this word from Back on Track, which is also about horse health.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we are very lucky today to have Dr. Figaro on with us. Dr. Figaro is a... I mean, you're so unbelievably educated. I can't even give your whole list behind your name. VMD.
I appreciate that, but I also don't feel that smart, so.
ACVS, Professor of Equine Studies and Resident Veterinarian at Centenary College in New Jersey. Additionally, you are a professor at Rutgers in the Animal Science Department, and you've opened up the Mountain Point Equine Veterinary Services, a ambulatory practice. Where do you have time? How do you have time to even sit and talk to us today?
I'm actually in between cases right now. They're holding the horse for me, waiting for me. So.
Oh, my gosh. You're so sweet. Well, let's get down to it. I know you got to go. Well, what are we going to talk about today?
So we're going to talk about equine herpes virus, and there's a lot of confusion. It tends to come back into the press, into everybody's vantage point, especially around the show season, particularly here in the Northeast in the late spring and early summer. The disease is actually called rhinopneumonitis because rhino means of the nose and pneumonitis of the lungs. So it is it's not primarily, but there is a respiratory component to this disease, and it's a herpes virus. And just like every other herpes virus, whether human or animal, the challenges with herpes viruses is they can actually go dormant and have a latent phase. And the best example is the cold sores on your lips. Usually when periods of you're a carrier of this virus, you always have it, you never get rid of it. And then when you go through periods of stress, the virus kind of recrudesces. You also have the potential to shed that and share that with your colleagues. So to speak. And the same thing happens in the horse world.
Did you say that people spread herpes to their colleagues? Was that?
I did.
Would that be a little nice?
I was referring to the ones on their mouth.
Oh, right. No, I got that. I got that. But I'm not quite sure that goes to the colleagues. Okay. So what does this mean for horse owners? That if you're a carrier of the disease as a human you'll never get rid of it, what does that mean for horses?
Yeah. Where the confusion occurs is that there's a lot of terms that people are throwing around out there. Basically, there have been about 9 strains that have been identified in the equine herpes virus complexes. And so when you look in the literature here, they talk about these numbers, and it's 1 through 9. The ones that most people hear about in the horse world are 1, 3, and 4, or probably the more common ones are 1 and 4. And those categories are break down according to their clinical symptoms. EHV1 has actually three subsets. It has an abortion component, a respiratory form, and a neurologic form, which I'll talk about the neurologic form in a minute here. EHV2 has a respiratory form. 3 actually has it's a venereal disease in horses. And EH4 is a respiratory component or a respiratory disease, but it occasionally will have a neurologic component as well. And EHV5 is one that's a respiratory one that we see primarily in foals. EHV1 is the one that most people are most concerned about, are the ones that they are worried about. In any breeding farm, you're always very concerned about it because of the abortion potential on those. It can happen in late-stage abortions anywhere in the second to third trimester. You certainly have respiratory forms. And then the neurologic form, it winds up getting another term called equine herpes virus myeloencephalopathy, or you'll see EHM as in Mike. And that particular part of the disease causes inflammation of the blood vessels in the brain and spinal cord, and so you wind up getting neurologic diseases that go along with it.
So it sounds like this disease affects every single end of the horse inside and out.
It can, and it's funny that most, they say that anywhere from 2 to 5 years of age, they've been exposed, most horses have been exposed, at least to the respiratory form. And the unfortunate part is that immunity, even if they were to contract the disease, the immunity is not lifelong. And even after contracting the disease, you only expect immunity to go for about 3 to 6 months. So that's where the challenge occurs, and that's why we're so stringent, and especially the shows and the veterinarians are really encouraging people to vaccinate. And in some cases, it almost appears as if we're over-vaccinating. But in periods of stress, and when you think about shows, there's trailering, there's occupation, there's, you know, stress of the job itself. And and when you bring a large conglomeration of horses into a confined area, you certainly increase your risks.
Now, there's the vaccine for, I know we get the flu rhino shot, and that obviously covers the one aspect of it. Does this cover 1 through 9? I mean, what's the vaccine do?
Yeah, most of the vaccines that are out there are focused on EHV1 and 4. And okay. Particularly the ones that are designed for pregnant mares are usually they're EHV1 only. So the rhino component of your flu rhino is this rhinopneumonitis. And there are specific vaccines that are only approved for pregnant mares, and then other ones that can be used in all species and or all ages. And usually recommendations vary a little bit, but anywhere from 3 months of age to 6 months of age is when you would first start your vaccination protocols in foals.
Okay, gotcha. And then not a side question. Humans obviously get herpes virus as well, and but they're screwed. Like, there's no vaccine for people.
No, there aren't, and they do play around with, and we do as well. I shouldn't say play around with, but we use antivirals in some of those cases. Not as used as frequently as we see in people. And antivirals, it's kind of a timing component. You have to do it at the very early onset. I mean, the biggest concern with herpes in the horse world is it's very contagious, and it's spread through aerosolization, so nasal droplets, nose-to-nose contact, literally you touching one horse's nose and going to the next one either with a bridle or, say, if it's a veterinarian with a twitch or something like that, you can spread that very, very quickly. And also aborted fetuses, placenta, tissues and fluids from that location all will be highly, highly contagious of this virus. And so one of the things that we really try to implement is biosecurity and the prevention of this spread. And if you have any indication of a horse that has these clinical signs, then you have to strictly enforce biosecurity measures. And unfortunately, the index case is always the tough one to find. It's usually the second and third one that you start putting two and two together.
As a veterinarian, when you are in a stressful situation for the horse, such as a horse show, do you use any extra special biosecurity measures? Or, I mean, do you disinfect the twitch from horse to horse?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
And certainly if there are those suspicions on things, we will actually go and change clothing, put on protective barriers, things like that. And yes, absolutely, we have to do that. And it's not just for herpes. It strangles and any other influenza, all the other respiratory diseases play a role from that standpoint.
Chemical shower.
The challenging part, again, on this disease, again, like you said, even in humans, is you can be a carrier and not know it. And that's both human and horse, and can spread that around. And then it's, again, when these stressful episodes come up is when it, kind of recrudesces. And one of the things that we can do, so the big indication, this is why you'll see in a lot of the show requirements entry, they'll ask for health certificates, and they ask specifically for rectal temperature records. And a lot of the shows have either asked that from veterinarians. Now, more recently, they're asking for trainers or owners to certify that their horse has not had an elevated rectal temperature. Fever is the first clinical sign, and it usually happens within 24 to 48 hours, particularly in the neurologic form. Now, the question is how many horses do I see with fevers? And there are a fair number of those, especially in the Northeast this time. We're starting to see a lot more of the tick-borne type diseases. And so we tend to see a lot more fevers. Do I think they're all herpes virus? I mean, it's lower on my list, but it's on my list of differentials there.
Wow. Just more stuff you guys can be scared of, as horse owners. Things to be paranoid about. So is there, say I've got a horse, and I'm not sure, this happens to me all the time. So a horse shows up, somebody gives me a horse, and they're like, here you go, and they don't know the vaccine history, they don't know anything. What is the first thing I do? Do I rush it to get vaccinated? Do I keep it separate?
Well,
what would you do?
In the ideal world, and I'm saying ideal world because I know what the reality of things are, is, the incubation period for these diseases, most of them are anywhere from 10 to 14 days. So if you had the ability to slowly reintroduce a horse into any facility, would be to isolate them and keep them away from the herd on things. Because once you get through that initial stressful period, because that's when they're going to be stressed and they have the higher incidence of shedding the disease, you decrease your risk. So forget about medication-wise. That's a simple management tool you can do. Now, is that the reality to most equine facilities? Probably not. And so a lot of people do require, and this is where a lot of the show is also recommending, that people have vaccinated, particularly for, in this particular case, for rhinopneumonitis, at a 3 week, in a 90-day interval. And that's when your highest protective barrier would be. Now, if you're not having any concerns and you're just vaccinating your horses on the property, they're not coming and going, every 6 months is certainly reasonable to do that. And that's where we usually also combine that in with the influenza vaccine as well, the flu rhino shot.
Well, you've definitely given us a lot to think about, and thank you so much for all the information. I know you've got a horse standing in the cross ties right now waiting for you to do God knows what to the poor creature.
I won't.
But I just want to thank you so much for coming on and letting us know. Fortunately, all mine are vaccinated, so this one's not going to cost me any money, unlike the last time you came on. So I do appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dr. Fusaro.
My pleasure, and anytime, happy to help.
Well, we will call you back. We love having you on.
Guys, have a great day.
You too.
Bye now.
And it's mountainpointequine.com is where you can find his website, mountainpointequine.com. I know. He's neat. I like him. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Dr. Jones. He's very to the point.
Well, he's to the point, but he's also got a sense of humor, and he's funny,
yes.
And he's very easy to understand. And to all those things, let's get him back.
Right.
I know
he's on the list, Jennifer. He's approved.
He's approved. Love that guy. I bet he's good-looking, too. Let's throw that in there.
He probably is, yeah. So we're going to hear about Easy Signs Online here in just a minute, and then I have Jared Rogerson singing Above the Timberline. When we come back, we'll have a few minutes before we get to the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. I got to tell you about, when we come back, about something that's happening at Burning Man. So, yeah. And I thought this was funny, so I'll get to it then. All right, we'll be back right after I find the sound file. Okay.
Easy Signs Online is the official sign company of the Horse Radio Network. This week's product highlight are their personalized nameplates. Perfect for horse stalls, tack rooms, lockers, bedroom doors, dog kennels, or whatever you can think of. Choose from hundreds of online graphics to further customize the nameplates from EasySignsOnline.com. Made from 1/2-inch thick, solid PVC signboard, these colorful and unique one-sided nameplates are 3.5 inches by 16 inches and are designed for durability, long-term indoor or outdoor use. They are only $39.95 each, and remember, free shipping on most orders over $100. Visit them at EasySignsOnline.com.
City offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience. But it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college, searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebag. Who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. Got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
That was Jared Rogerson with one of his terrific songs, Above the Timberline. And, of course, he's talking about his own job where he gets to ride out. And what does he do? He counts elk? Isn't it elk?
He's got one of those jobs you're like, for real? People do that?
Yeah.
I want
works
that job.
For like the, he works for like the, what is the, I forget which department it is now. He works for the government counting elk, and that's pretty much what he does. He rides above the timberline.
Rides horses, counts elk.
That's right. That's
gets a government paycheck.
And then he sings on occasion and, you know, goes out to clubs and stuff and has a beautiful wife. And he's just like, he's the all-American guy, Jared Rogerson.
No, he's the all-Western guy. That's what he
that's
is.
That's true. Sure. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. You can find all of their terrific products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, we have a few minutes here. I was on Kickstarter. Occasionally I go onto Kickstarter and I see what horse things are on there.
Oh, I love it when you do this.
Well, today it's not about horses. Well, it actually started with horses. I noticed there was this called the Trojan Horse Project for Burning Man. Now, does everybody know what Burning Man is? Basically, it's when the stoners get together in the desert in Nevada. And Nevada or Utah? One of those two. They all get, there are billions of them get together. It seems like millions of them. Thousands of them get together in the desert, and they all drink and party and have a good time and take off their clothes. And it's become this huge thing. It used to be just California people that went out. And now it's become this huge thing where people come in from all over the world to live in the desert for a week.
There are bands and stuff. There is music and all that. It's not – they don't just run around. People go play it.
Okay, true, but we would all agree that they're all pretty much stoned the entire time they're there. That's part of the goal.
Oh, my God.
Burning Man.
There is nothing worse than a music festival. So it's technically a music festival, but it's a bunch of dirty hippies doing drugs and having sex
with each other in a tent. Yep, that's right. And what's become a big thing there is these art projects. Well, back in 2011, one of the ones was a Trojan horse. And it was a 20-ton Trojan horse that was as big as the Trojan horse that was from history. And apparently they built this thing. They raised $20,000 to build this thing. And then they had 1,000 stoners actually drag it across the desert to get it to Burning Man, just like they would have in the old days. Well, sorry, so that was 2011. So they've been doing – well, what's happened now is all of these different art projects are raising money on Kickstarter. It's become a thing now to raise money to do your wacky art project for Burning Man on Kickstarter. And I'm looking, there must be 20 of them listed on here. So I don't know when Burning Man is in 2014, but it must be coming up. So they got all of these wacky art projects, and believe it or not, some of them are actually raising money. Here's one with $2,000. It's called Light the Way, Burning Man 2014. By the way, I went in to read a lot of these, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I had no idea what they're even trying to do. Apparently, you have to be stoned to realize what they're trying to accomplish, because I'm not stoned yet today, so I don't know what's happening. And then they have another one called Something Camp Returns to Burning Man, SK8 Camp. I have no idea. Apparently, it's a large skate park that they're building, and they've raised $1,100 to do that. It's 28% funded. And then it goes on and on and on. Here is one, the 3D, 360-degree projection-mapped skull for Burning Man has raised $16,321 with 52 hours to go, and it is 163% funded. Now, the problem I have with this, by the way, there's another one here that raised $14,952 for an art project, and another one that raised $12,900 for an art project for Burning Man. My question for you is, you're donating money to a bunch of stoners to complete an art project. Think about that. Do you think there's a chance that half of these will be completed by Burning Man? Because you know what happens halfway through the day, you know, you start to get a little high, and then, you know, your efficiency starts to go down, and, you know, the deadlines for your art project start to get put behind, and chances are it never gets done. So,
Before you get to the fact that none of these are going to happen, seriously, I was thinking, I'm like, damn, these are some really motivated, wealthy stoners. Like, who, you don't get high and go do an art project. Like, you get high and you listen to music or so, eat food. I don't know what you do, but it seems like a lot of very motivated and or wealthy stoners. And then I realized, yeah, you're probably right. Like, none of these are actually going to get completed. So you're donating money to somebody's weed fund is basically what you're doing.
Well, this guy is building, and he raised $14,900. Oh, by the way, if you want to help him, his goal is $15,000. He needs another $48 or he doesn't get any of this. So you only got 32 hours to go if you want to help him. He's building a Celestial Mechanica, which is a 16-foot-tall kinetic steel sculpture of the solar system representing the majestic dance of the heavenly bodies.
What the?
Wow.
I don't even know what you just said.
I know, but he raised 15 grand. All right, you want to hear another good one? This one doesn't involve Burning Man. This I came across when looking up horse. And there's a lot of these now on Kickstarter. It used to be kind of a serious place, but now, you know, the guy who was making potato salad, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you heard about that, raised like tens of thousands of dollars for making his potato salad. Well, now there's a lot of copycats of those. So here is a guy who posted, draw a man on a horse. I would like to draw a man on a horse. I'm not a professional drawing person, but I would like to be able to draw a man on a horse. And his goal was $3. He has now raised $14 with four backers to help him draw a man on a horse. And he has all of these levels set up and all this different stuff. Obviously spent time to do this, hoping that he was going to raise tens of thousands of dollars like the potato salad guy. But you think Kickstarter wants to just start eliminating some of these and getting them off of here?
I feel sorry for the people that think they're going to be as clever and famous as the potato salad guy. Like, I'm sorry he started it. You're all just posers. Like, you're trying to, you know, keep up with that guy. And it's been there, done that. Nobody's going to give you money.
That's right. That's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what's happening. But if we could think of the next one and raise the money ourselves, I'd be all for it, by the way.
What are we going to do? We got nothing. We got nothing.
No, we got this radio show. But we do have people backing the radio show. We have our wonderful auditors, so we have something.
I know.
Something there.
I know. We get something from that. I appreciate every single penny of it, as we all do. And just the love that you guys have. We're not making potato. You know what? Any new auditor today, I will send you some potato salad.
Right. To people, you don't want it. Jamie probably has tofu in it.
It's
probably
tofu
salad. Potato salad.
You know what I did buy, Glenn, that's really delicious?
Beef.
Veganaise.
What?
Vegan mayonnaise. It doesn't have any eggs in it. They use coconut instead of the coconut oils instead of the eggs. Well, it doesn't taste like coconut. It tastes like mayonnaise, and it's delicious. And no animals were harmed in the making of my healthy veganaise. So it's awesome. Y'all try it. Ugh. It's healthier for you. Come on.
Hey, while we're waiting for Jennifer to get everybody set up to play trivia, I want to give a shout-out to my neighbor here, Chester Weber. He won Aachen. He was driving his four-in-hand team over there. And, you know, Americans have never done very well in driving overseas because the Germans and the Dutch always kick our butts. But he did very well. He won. He actually had a score of 36 in dressage, which is very good. And then, maintained through cross country or through marathon. And then I had three cones going into the final phase and did very well there. So what that means is it looks like we have a shot of Chester having a good shot of winning the WEG. So it could be our first time winning the WEG in driving. So I'm very excited about that because obviously
you know,
I
love the fact that you call him your neighbor. You know,
he lives 3 miles down the road.
Like he's in your neighborhood. That's it. Your neighborhood is as far from him as Brad and Jennifer in L.A. is to me, okay?
I pass his farm every day I go to town. I pass his farm.
You know who you sound like? My father-in-law, who Toby Keith lives in his town, and every time I go to visit, I told you this, he drives me by Toby Keith's house, and he's like, there's Toby Keith. That's not his neighbor. It's somebody he stalks, and you stalk Chester Weber. You are a Weber stalker.
I am. You know, we can't see his house, though, because there's 1,400 acres, and his house is in the middle. I've never seen his house, actually. I've been on the property and never seen his house.
You mean he's your neighbor and he hasn't invited you over or borrowed sugar
from
you? What the heck, Glenn?
No, none of that yet. Someday. Well, let's get to our fun time of a Wednesday when we play a little.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, of course, brought to you by EquityMFG.com. You know, they have the best, strongest, sturdiest manure forks out there today. I did get an email, though, Jamie, from one of our listeners who sent me an email this week on Monday, and I forwarded it on to Joseph over at Equity. She said, I just got to tell you that I broke my fork. She's had it for 2.5 years. She said, and you know how I did it? Apparently she had it on the manure spreader, and it fell off the manure spreader, and she ran it over with the manure spreader tire. Guess what? Oh, the tines did not break. The basket did not break. She broke the handle. So apparently to break your manure fork, it takes a manure spreader full of manure to break your manure fork. And she said she brought it to work, and the wizards at work apparently magically fixed the handle. Although the reason I'm bringing this up is because she's had it 2.5 years. She said the basket's just fine. As you said, the basket's just to kind of never break. But she said if you run it over with a car or a tractor or your manure spreader, the handle will probably bite the dust. So keep that in mind. But one of the cool things, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is you can just order a new handle. You just contact them at Equity, and they'll send you out a new – you can buy a new handle. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You can just order a new handle. And he also said he'll send out – if you want to buy a new one, he'll send out a new handle in the box there. So you can buy a handle and a whole new one at the same time. He'll ship it all together. So 2.5 years, Harris is still going strong. And the only thing that broke it was running it over. So if you want own indestructible, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I ran over the basket in my gator. We're talking like, you know, what is a gator, 2,000 pounds? I ran over it. Now the tine was out of place. And I know he hates it when I say this, but, you know, we talk about this. They pretty much are indestructible. And how many people have, and you, because you people just can't throw them away. How many of you have a collection of manure forks that have a tine missing? Nobody uses them anymore. Just throw them out.
They're in a pile.
You're not going to fix it. You're not going to glue a tine back on. Just throw it away and buy an Equity. Am I right, Jennifer?
And how many of us after we break... How many of us, after we break the tine, have tried to use it, and the poop always find the hole?
Yes.
They always, the poop... Yeah, the whole rest of the fork... But the poop always finds the hole every time.
You can't use it again. Why do you keep throwing money down the toilet? Just buy EquityMFG.com. That's the one to get. You guys, seriously, you're wasting your time.
All right, let's go on with a celebrity that I am very excited about it. She is a player. She is a coach. And she plays a sport that I became familiar with many years ago. We did a segment on the Stable Scoop Show. It was episode number 44. That was like 5 years ago on the Stable Scoop Show, and we met Julie Barbeau then, and she is out of Canada, and she is one of the ace horseball players in the world. Hello, Julie.
Good morning, you two.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited. I always love to talk to you. You know that.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm also very excited to talk with you today.
Well, now, you play horseball, you know, and there's a lot of people that have never heard of horseball. Jennifer's going to post some links on Facebook, and we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it because we have to get to the trivia, but just go to YouTube and look up horseball, and you'll find a whole bunch of videos of people playing horseball. One question I want to ask you is this should be the most popular sport in America. It involves horses. It involves balls. It involves people getting semi-violent on horses with each other. Why is this not popular in America? It has everything Americans like, violence and balls.
And a net.
And a net. Yes, you're right.
I don't know how come, but I've heard from the International Horseball Federation that the new teams are being formed in the state of New York. So I'm going to go and see about that in a few weeks. So we should have – I think that when it starts, it's just going to spread really fast. Actually, in Europe, they've had it for 40 years, and it is still growing. It is still in expansion. So I don't know. There's something about horseball that makes it slow to develop, although it's such an exciting sport.
It is.
Very
it's so fast-paced. And, I mean, you talk about athletes, Jamie. These people that play this, these players are hanging off their horses. I mean, literally off their horses, picking the ball up off the ground. I don't know how they stay on. I really don't. And, you know, when I got to watch it at the WEG, I watched several games. It was so exciting.
You just answered your own question why it's not the most popular sport, because it's a lot of physical exertion, and there are a lot of people that like to just sit up on the horse and let the horse do the work. I mean, my
That's
God, that, I'm included in that. Too much work.
Well, actually, anybody can play. Anybody can play. It just depends on the speed that you play, but we've got older people playing, and we've got little kids playing, and as long as you go at your own speed, it's okay. So, and the pickup is not the hardest thing. We have a pickup strap that just prevents us from going over our saddle, but it's very spectacular, but it's not the hardest thing.
Some of the pictures, though, of you guys when you're picking up the balls are dramatic. I mean, you end up with some terrific pictures. Now, what kind of horses are the best for horseball?
If I speak for myself, I will tell you thoroughbreds, because they're fast and they're athletic and they're warriors. But any kind of horse can play. On our team, we have crossed Appaloosas, we've got Halflingers, we've got Appendix, whatever breed is not important, as long as you have a very courageous horse and a horse that likes to play with the ball, because not all horses are willing to have the ball flying all over their head. So, but most horses will just do it, and as long as you have a sound horse, you can play horseball.
Wow, and I imagine 15 hands. You know, all the dressage riders now want and eventers want 17 hand horses. That's probably not real good for horseball.
I wouldn't say that actually. I'm 5'4". I have a 16-2 hand mare.
Whoa.
And I pick up. It depends. It depends on your ability. It depends. And like I said, there's a technique to go down and pick up the ball. So as long as you master that technique, I think, of course, I probably wouldn't be able to pick up from a 17-2 hand. But then again, I'm small. So... But in France, they have 17-2 horses, but the guys are 6 feet something, so...
Yeah, right. The
they
guys
get
are
to
much
do
taller.
It, yeah.
Well, before we get to our player here, who we have coming up, Jessica Troop is going to be playing you, a listener out of Virginia. I have to ask you a real quick question. You said that from where WEG is going to be in 2018, you're what, within an hour drive?
Oh, not even an hour drive. Bromont is about... Because I have to say that I'm from Quebec, so in Canada. So, yeah, Bromont is about an hour drive from my place. So,
well, I'll tell you what. I hear that
way.
There's not a lot of hotels around Bromont, so we're going to need – the entire Horse Radio Network crew is going to need a place to stay when we're there, and you have offered up your floor for us. Is that correct?
Oh, you know, Glenn, that you're always welcome, of course.
See, Jamie, we're set. We have a place to stay when we go to WEG. We're all set.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know what it's going to be like on the floor for Julie, because I'm taking the bed, honey. Just kidding.
And Julie, we expect Chinese, okay? We expect
yes.
Chinese when we...
Yes. You will have Chinese, just like we
All
had
right.
at your place during the last WEG. So, yes, we'll do that, that's for sure.
We're looking forward to seeing you at the next WEG. We definitely are. Well, let's find out. Jamie, why don't you introduce our player?
All right. Well, I would love to welcome Jessica Troop of Glen Allen, Virginia, who is going to take on Julie. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. So you're on the East Coast. You've been awake a while. I'm still not quite there, but you've had your coffee. You're ready to go, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, what type of riding do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I do a little bit of everything. I've got an off-track thoroughbred gelding. His name is Apache. And I mostly do English, hunter jumper, but we also do trail riding. And actually this weekend, going to try out competitive trail riding and obstacle challenges.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I've been wanting
really
to try
excited.
That. That's so cool. I've talked to my husband. I think he would really like that, too, with his horse. So you're going to have to send me a message and let me know how it goes, okay?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, our friend is hosting a clinic, and so we're all kind of getting ready for it. And then there's a competition, I think, in another month. So getting ready.
Oh, fun. That's exciting. Well, thank you for having an off-the-track thoroughbred. And I've never, ever heard an OTTB named Apache. You'll hear a paint or a quarter horse with the name Apache,
true.
But that really kind of jumped out at me, right?
Yeah, well, it comes from his racing name. His racing name is Fort Apache Star, and apparently the original owner was like a huge John Wayne fan, so all of his horses were like something, either Fort Apache or some other John Wayne movie.
Okay, I love it. See, my dad, if he was in here, he would get it because he knows every John Wayne movie back and forth. So that makes a little more sense, I guess. So, you guys, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to ask Jessica a question, and then I'm going to go to Julie, and we're going to go back and forth and back and forth, three questions each, and then we have a tiebreaker. And if we get to the tiebreaker, then I will explain the rules then. Julie, have you listened to any of these before?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Uh-oh. And Jamie, before we start, let's tell them what they're going to win. We have a $25 gift certificate from Equus Now. A complete line for the rider, horse, and barn can be found at equusnow.com. They're out of Ohio, and we appreciate them participating in the show and donating the gift certificate. And Julie, who's gonna be able to buy stuff for a charity for you if you win?
It's a rescue association called Galahad, right here in Quebec, and their mission is to find new homes for neglected or abandoned horses or for owners who can no longer support their horses. So it's a very noble association, so I would be very happy to give my gift to them. But Jessica, don't worry, I won't win because I'm zero at trivia.
Well,
oh,
now,
but
to give Julie a chance, Jessica, we're asking all of your questions in French.
then I won't get any of them. I speak Spanish, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
I was about to try to say something clever in French and, like, make some. I can't even pretend to do French words. So, sorry, I was going to be funny for a second, but it's gone. So here's how this works. I've got to give two disclaimers up front. The number one is that I have a baby who is asleep, and if he wakes up, I'm going to have to run and grab him real quick so he doesn't roll off the bed because, of course, he fell asleep on my bed. So if that happens, y'all just talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back within a minute. Now, the second disclaimer is if you have any complaints about any of this, you don't like your questions, you don't like the problem, whatever, send your complaints to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Got that?
Got that.
Got
all
it.
Right,
all right, Jessica, here is your question. True or false? True or false? Horseball is a recognized FEI discipline.
True.
That's correct.
Yay.
Good job.
Yeah. See, I might have got that one wrong if we didn't have Julie on talking about it. That was surprising to me. But, yes, it is a recognized FEI discipline. Julie, your true or false question. Fecal egg count. It's an effective way to determine whether a horse has a significant bot infestation.
Repeat that for me, please.
That's way harder than Jessica's question. Yeah. Good Lord. This isn't even your first language. Fecal egg count. Fecal egg count. That's eggs in the poop.
Yeah, I understand that part.
Okay. It's an effective way to determine whether a horse has bots. Butt eggs.
False.
That's correct. It is false. Good job, Julie.
Yeah, very good, very good. That is not a way to check for bots because they have, I don't know, already gone in the stomach lining. How's that work? I don't even know. We'll find out more later. Jessica, which country had the highest number of registered quarter horse owners in 2013? It's going to be multiple choice. Highest number of quarter horse owners according to AQHA records last year. Germany, Mexico, or France?
I'll go with Mexico.
Yes, I would have guessed Mexico too, but I don't think they register their quarter horses in Mexico. The answer is A, surprisingly, Germany. Germany.
Yay, I would have had it.
Doesn't count. Sorry, not your question. Julie, we do go to your question, though. This is also multiple choice. In what year was Equine Canada, the Canadian version of the USEA, United States Eventing Association, founded? Is it A, 1939, B, 1952, or C, 1977?
1977, I would say.
That is correct. Good job, Julie.
Julie, you know what you're doing, girl. Come on, say, I don't know, I'm not going to win, whatever. Okay, Jessica, your final
question.
2-1
now. Julie takes an early lead.
Goodness. This is surprising, actually.
And you've already snarked that you knew her answer, so we'll see how far we go. All right. Jessica, name two colors of horse that are made up with a mixture of white and any other color hair through the body.
So white and any other hair, color hair throughout the body.
Yeah.
Tobiano and pink? Or
can you give us a little more specific?
Okay. Buckskin?
One more.
I think she's wrong, right?
Well, you know.
We need a judge on this one. Oh, she says buzzer.
Oh.
The judge said buzzer. You were right
so
on
you
paint.
Said, yeah, Tobiano and paint. Tobiano is a paint, so we had to go with that. You could have said paint or pinto, gray, roan, any Appaloosa pattern. Although, I almost feel like we should give it to her because my buckskin has a white foot. So that's white and any other hair color through the body.
That's true. That is true.
I'm giving it to all. Give her the buzzer.
Right.
2-2.
There. We overruled the judge.
Like, I just realized, my buckskin has white in any other color. So there you go. Julie.
Yes.
In what disease does the coffin bone sometimes drop or rotate?
It's an avicular.
Oh, I don't. That's not right.
It is founder or laminitis. The navicular bone sits behind all that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God. We have a tie. We have a tie, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
All right.
By the way, the reason, Julie, that we don't like, and Jessica, we don't like to go against the judge, Jennifer, a whole lot because she writes our paychecks. So we try and keep that to a minimum, but occasionally we will override her.
I overrode her. I'm going to get my complaints. So this is how the tiebreaker works, okay? This is called Name That Movie, and I'm going to begin reading clues from the movie, clues leading you to guess the movie. When you know the movie I am talking about, you are going to yell out your name. That is your buzzer, and then I will call on you, and you can don't just yell out the answer because then the other person can yell out their name and then use that clue. So here we go. Are you guys ready? You understand?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. This animated feature was released in 1950 by Disney. Nominated for 3 Academy Awards for Best Sound, Original Music Score, and Best Song. A horse named Major belonged to the main character, whose name is also the title of the film. Not the horse, but the main character. In order to get to the ball on time, the main character's fairy godmother transforms a pumpkin into a carriage.
Julie. I think I heard Julie first.
So close. I heard Julie first, too.
Well, give it to Jessica. I'll pass to Jessica.
Aren't you nice? Jessica.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. Cinderella.
Oh, there you go.
That is correct.
That would have really sucked if you'd gotten it wrong there, Jessica.
That's why I passed.
Oh, you guys, that's fantastic. Well, I wish we could give prizes to both Jessica and the charity, but we do appreciate you guys. Congratulations, Jessica. A $25 gift certificate from Equus Now. It's a complete line for rider, horse, and barn. EquusNow.com is the website. And you guys, it's been a total pleasure having you on.
It was lots of fun. Thank you very much, and congratulations, Jessica.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Jessica, before you go, if a horseball clinic ever comes to Virginia, you go play. You will have a blast. Especially
if
Julie's
helping out.
Oh, my gosh,
they definitely
will. Yeah, you will have a blast. You will have so much fun. Thank you, Julie. We appreciate it. We're going to see you in 4 years up at your place.
Yes, we will. Hopefully before that.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you, Julie, for joining us. Do you have a website, Julie, for the horseball up there?
Yes,
or Facebook?
We do.
Or something?
We do. I'm not sure by heart, though. www.horseball.ca.
Horseball.ca. All right, give it a. And Jennifer will post that on our Facebook page as well. Thank you for being. Hey, say hello to Marie for me, will you?
I will say hello to Marie, and she will be very happy to have some news from you.
Hi, Marie.
I'll say hello to the whole Canadian team anyways.
Yes, you do that. You know, when they came over for dinner, Jamie, at our house during the WEG, because they were down there doing demonstrations the whole time in Lexington. They came over for dinner one night, and there were many of them that didn't speak English. So, and my French is, I took 4 years of French in high school, and I still can only say oui. So,
oui, non, merci, s'il vous plaît. Bonjour, bye-bye.
There you go. Thank
Bonjour.
You.
Bonjour. There you go. See, you're French now.
See you, Julie. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Bye.
Bye, Jessica. We have your address, so we'll make sure you get this. Thanks
all
a lot
righty,
for playing.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That was awful. That was awful nice of Julie to hand it over. I wonder if
yes,
she really did forget the name of the movie, though.
Well, you know, there is one stereotype that fits about Canadians. We've said this all along. They are nice.
They're like the nicest people in the world. Yeah, seriously.
I actually can't wait for WEG to be in Canada. I think they'll do a good job. They always do a good job with their Olympics and everything. I think they're going to do a good job, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait.
Good.
Good times. Well, we got to get through this WEG first, and that's coming up in a month. We're trying to arrange some live reports from there, so stay tuned. We'll make sure that we get coverage of the WEG here on Horses in the Morning for everybody. And I'm also trying to figure out if anybody knows where we can watch it live. I don't know. I know the FEI will probably be covering it, but I know there must be other places that are going to be covering it as well. So I'm sure there'll be a live stream that we can all watch here in the United States. So we'll find out about that.
I did see that you guys are all going to want to watch it live because Totalist has been nominated to be on the German team.
Yes. Isn't that exciting?
God, I love it. Yes, it's super exciting. I'm so excited he's back and he's competing and he's winning. Totalist and then Isabel Wirth is going to be there with Bella Rose, Christina Spree. And then Helen Langer Hindenburg. Don't make me read German names. What the hell? But Dennis Rath.
I saw they nominated the. Get this. Yeah. They nominated the Swiss team, and I couldn't read one of the names. I just couldn't read one of the names. It was like I can't say any of these names for the Swiss team. Forget it.
All
at least
right.
We had a chance.
German. The German horse is Damon Hill, Totalist, Desperado, and Bella Rose. Got it. And the reserve horse for Isabel Wirth is Don Johnson. What?
He's from
That's
Hawaii.
Hilarious.
Or he's from Miami, rather.
He's from Miami, exactly.
That's funny. Well, why don't you go see your baby, say hi, spend some time with your dad, who I know is still there. Do you have any John Wayne things planned for today?
You know, we actually, in this same local swap shop, found a John Wayne movie that he's never seen.
What?
It looks possibly like the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It was in the dollar bin, and he's like, I've never seen this one. And, oh, my gosh, I recognize actors in it. And I'm like, how is this not famous? Because it looks terrible. And so we're going to watch that tonight. And I think the little man, we bought him a version of Planes, you know, that Pixar movie.
Yep, yep.
Cars, but they have planes. So we're going to watch Planes today. So really, it's going to be 116 degrees here today. So I'm not doing jack.
We're staying in the house.
I'm going to watch a movie. We went to see How to Train Your Dragon 2 yesterday. Again, it was awesome the second time. So if you guys haven't seen it, go see it.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back here again tomorrow. And then Friday's Really Bad Ads Day. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. I had a couple people send them through this week. And it's Jennifer with two N's, by the way. And you have to – don't just put a link. Copy and paste the whole ad, because by the time we get to it, it's gone. It's down. So if you want to make sure you get in and you have a chance of winning, that's what you have to do. So get them into Jennifer. That's about it for today. We'll be back here again. So thank you for joining us, and have a great day there in hot, hot, hot Arizona.
Oh, my God. Enjoy Florida. Go do something fun outside and think of me. Fan
right.
Neutered gals.